Sci FM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Ah, Anthony Reich. We've got to talk
that's
to Anthony
what she
Reich.
Had to say.
That's more important. Maybe Anthony Reich knows what is a decathlon. Morning, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chanukah Sameach, and of course Chodesh Tov. Yeah.
And to you too.
Deca is 10, Kathy. Deca, that's a word for 10. Quarto, or whatever is 4. Decathlon is 10 different events, but they're not all at the same time. Like a triathlon, you would do, traditionally, you would do swimming and then cycling and then running, without stopping. You just do one after the other. But a decathlon is 10 different athletics events, all separately and done, perhaps even on different days. So it's definitely 10 events, no doubt. Decathlon, by the way, is a sports brand. I get you there. They've kind of stolen the word, but, no, it is definitely 10 events, and it's an Olympic event, actually.
See, and this is why we have trouble, because I thought that I understood it, and I clearly didn't. Okay, Anthony.
But I wanted to just mention, before we get on to some of the heavier stuff, there's a new branch of the Jerusalem light rail system that's been approved, Ooh. The so-called Golden Line, which will be a branch of the Red Line. Those people have been to Jerusalem in recent years and seen the light rail system. It's really changed the city so much. Now they've approved the Golden Line, and this is going to be a so-called tourism line because it will link the old city with downtown Jerusalem, Machane Yehuda Market, and it will go to the Knesset, government buildings, the Israel Museum, and the Givat Ram campus of the Hebrew U. So that apparently, I think, will have 3 or 4 new stations added onto the existing system. Clearly, it'll take 3 stations, actually, will be added. And it'll obviously take a little while to build, as indeed the first bit did. But it's really improving the face of Jerusalem and making it a lot easier to get about and quite pleasant. I think it's quite nice to go to Jerusalem, hop on the light rail, and to get around pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Absolutely love it. And it's very affordable, too. Anthony, let's talk about some news. Morocco.
Yes.
I can't wait to go to Morocco.
Well, there's so many people excited about this Morocco deal. Jared Kushner will next week lead a joint U.S.-Israeli delegation that will be on board the first El Al direct flight from Tel Aviv to Rabat. And it will be include Meir Ben Shabbat, who is Israel's national security advisor. He will be the leader of the Israeli delegation. Jared Kushner, of course, will lead the U.S. delegation to include other senior members of the U.S. negotiating team and a great many Israelis who are all excited about opening this whole link with Morocco. Avi Berkovich, Adam Buchler, others will be there from the USA. Before they head off to Rabat, Jared Kushner and the team will meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem, and then they will board that flight to Rabat, which is very exciting. And in fact, Miri Regev, who is in herself a very controversial government minister, but who is someone whose family comes from Morocco, has expressed her excitement, saying she's so proud that our grandfathers and our grandmothers can visit Morocco while they are still alive, because there's so many people who emigrated. Did you know that there were 250,000 Jews who emigrated to Israel from Morocco? It's the largest number of Jews emigrating to Israel from any Muslim country. As I mentioned yesterday, I think there's something like 1 million Israelis who have some sort of Moroccan descent. And for many of them, this is like, going back to their roots, tracing where their families came from. So there is a lot of excitement from their perspective. But, let's not ignore the diplomatic achievement and also potentially opening up some economic relations between the two countries. So, yeah, a lot of interest and excitement surrounding the Morocco deal. And of course, trying to speculate as to which countries may be next on the list. I mean, we've had this discussion before, but now that we've already opened agreements with no fewer than 4 countries over the past few months, establishing relations with countries that weren't in place before, there is a lot of speculation as to which ones might come next. But for the moment, at least, there's quite a lot of focus on Morocco. And we're looking forward to that first El Al flight next week. That'll fly to Rabat.
That's amazing. And I see that the El Al has also initiated direct flights to Casablanca.
Casablanca obviously has its own attractions. But I'm expecting that there will be some fairly regular scheduled flights that will now travel between Israel and different cities within Morocco.
Yeah, and of course, as Jews, I mean, collectively, one of our sages, I mean, he lived in Morocco.
Exactly.
The Rambam.
Exactly.
I think he lived in Fez. Didn't he live in Fez?
I'm not quite sure exactly where the Rambam lived, but absolutely came from that part. And, of course, many of the descendants. Morocco has a certain link, because so many Israelis have their roots in Morocco, that, you know, one can't avoid the link.
100%. Well, looking forward to it. Anthony, maybe one day we'll meet up there.
Morocco, exactly.
In Morocco, yes. We'll go and get some fish.
As opposed to Worcester, wherever Morocco. Else you had your exciting moments. Exactly.
All right. Anthony, Israel yesterday successfully tested and upgraded anti-missile defense system. So tell us about it, and how's it different to the existing one?
So the test that was carried out yesterday involved Iron Dome, which has already achieved great fame for the way in which it has protected Israel up until now from the short-range missiles that traditionally get fired from Gaza, from Lebanon to a lesser degree, and also from Syria. So the Iron Dome has now been actually upgraded, and yesterday managed to intercept an incoming cruise missile. Now, Israel has got this multi-layered approach to anti-missile protection systems, which involve Iron Dome, David Sling, and Arrows. Those are the three systems that fit together to form this multi-layered defense system. The Iron Dome, traditionally against short-range missiles. David Sling has been developed for the medium-range missiles, and the Arrow system for the longer-range missiles, including ballistic missiles. But what we're seeing now is that each of those individual systems are kind of expanding their capability such that they're almost even encroaching on each other's territory. And what that means is that there's just greater flexibility available to Israel, so that it could potentially deploy an Iron Dome system, not only to protect against short range, but also to protect against medium range missiles. And I think that this is really the significance of the importance of yesterday's test and the fact that it was successful. All of these systems are homegrown Israeli systems. And as I've said on a number of occasions before, and I don't get tired of saying this, that Israel puts most of its development effort and money, military development effort and money, into defense systems rather than attack systems. No doubt we do spend our money on attacking systems, F-35s and those type of aircraft, without a doubt. But so much money is spent on defense, and we've really felt it in the recent Gaza conflicts, because for the first time since the state of Israel was declared, Israel is able actually to continue to operate even under a war situation. I remember, for example, when we had the last conflict with Lebanon, that missiles were being fired from the north into the border, over the border from Lebanon into Israel, and that many citizens who lived in that northern area and who were within range of those missiles had to evacuate. They had to give up their lives and move further south in order to get away from those missiles that were just falling like rainfall on that northern Israel area. So it really disrupted life there, disrupted the economy, and put us into what was noticeably a war situation. Since then, we've developed these anti-missile systems, and in the conflict with Gaza, for example, when some of the, like Operation Protective Edge and others were going on, the rest of Israel seemed to operate almost like there wasn't a war. Now, on the one hand, one could argue that that's not okay, because one really has to go into a war footing and to have some sympathy with those people who are fighting the war, particularly our soldiers. You know, it seemed wrong in many respects just to conduct everyday life normally as if though nothing was happening. But the fact of the matter is that that's really what saves our economy and allows us to continue to operate normally. That, you know, the goal of the government is to allow us to continue to operate normally even when we are within a conflict situation. And certainly these anti-missile systems allow us to do that. And of course, one shouldn't lose sight of the fact that, you know, Iran is constantly on the horizon, constantly thinking about what a threat Iran might bring, the so-called third tier that Israel has defined, the third circle, they call it, that was defined as part of the momentum plan that was rolled out between 2019 and early this year, which called for a dedicated general in the IDF to actually focus on the so-called third circle threat. The third circle meaning the countries that are slightly beyond our direct area of engagement, such as Gaza, Lebanon, Syria. So countries like Iran are considered to be the third circle, and there's a lot of effort going in right now to protect Israel against the threats that come from those countries, which are kind of just one step removed from our immediate borders. And this missile test that took place yesterday is a really, really important step forward to prove that our systems are not only good for what they were originally designed, but can indeed go beyond their original design function.
Absolutely fascinating. Well, it's so interesting to see how Israel's developed a side of the military that is not, you know, it's either preemptive or you know, it's based on
protective.
Yeah, very
right,
interesting.
Right. I mean, and it creates a whole industry because, I mean, not only are so many smart people in Israel engaged in designing and building these systems, but also, you know, it employs a lot of people, and it potentially presents an opportunity to export, although we're very, very cautious about where we're sending our own home-built military systems to. There's a lot of sensitivity that we don't want them to fall into the wrong hands for obvious reasons.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, but it seems to be that sense of that need to protect seems to be across the board. I mean, and it's developed a lot of industries. Israel is the number one developer of cybersecurity in the world, and that's for a reason. No, it's actually,
well,
it's incredible.
One of the reasons is we know well how the attacks come to begin with.
No, exactly. So you've developed it for the rest of the world. It's wonderful.
We know how good attacks are based, and therefore we can develop defenses against them. If you don't know how the attacks are coming in, then, you know, it's very hard to develop a defense against them.
Exactly. And, the next head of the Mossad spy agency, he's been appointed. Now, what's interesting about this is that a few years back, we would never have heard about who the head of the Mossad was.
Right. Well, we only have a moment, so I'll just quickly mention that there has been a little controversy around this because the prime minister decided to take it upon himself to appoint the new head of the Mossad, even though this should really be Benny Gantz's job in his position as Minister of Defense. But we'll leave that step aside for a moment. We don't really know who the new head of the Mossad will be. He's simply known as the Mossad's deputy director, known by the name of D. But I guess that once he's appointed to the job, which is only due to be during the middle of next year, his name will be revealed, which is somewhat ironic because we do know, for example, the current head of the Mossad is Yossi Cohen. That person was never a public figure before. He is now. So I guess that D will come out of the covers and we will know exactly who he is. We're told that he's a career Mossadnik, that he's been there for many years. He's now the deputy director. So one assumes that the Mossad will continue pretty much in the same vein as they've been operating up until now under Yossi Cohen. It seems as if though it's just going to be more of the same. So at least we have that continuity that's already been established.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it today. I look forward to speaking to you again tomorrow. And thank you for the update.
And take care. Have a good day.
Have a wonderful day. You too. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.